Well, good morning, all. Halloween, Christmas, of course, Easter, they all have one thing in common. They represent themselves as one thing, but they are actually something altogether different. They are days that are surrounded by lies, and lies that, when exposed and eliminated, actually cause the holiday itself to be eliminated. They're counterfeits. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg. The world that we live in is filled with counterfeits. These lies, these forgeries, these fakes, they're put there as a stumbling block for all of humanity, because they're methods that hide the truth. They try to obfuscate it. When you begin with truth and then surround it with lies, you can quite easily hide the truth inside. Consider Easter for a moment. How many here have ever celebrated Easter and all of its traditions? Okay. My wife was raised in the church, and she never did partake in that day. And many of these concepts would be foreign to her. There are others here. But rather than continue many, many years ago, rather than continue with Passover, the Roman church in the middle of the second century began to shift the focus of the spring holy days away from Passover, away from the days of unleavened bread, and all of the wonderful meanings that and that we've learned to enjoy, to understand, and away from the significance of the plan of salvation. And they began to focus only on the resurrection of Christ. After 3 days and three nights in the tomb, Jesus Christ was resurrected. And that is true. And it's important. Without that fact, without that truth, all of our hope would be in vain. But the good news is, it is true. By the end of the second century, the practice of always celebrating the Pascha, or the Passover, on Sunday became a real source of controversy between Rome and the churches in Asia. An edict was sent by Pope Victor in Rome to Polycrates in Ephesus explaining his decree. And this was in the year 193. But his authority and his practices were rejected. It's all very well documented. It's known as the Paschal Crisis or the Quartodeciman Controversy. Quartodeciman is a reference to the number 14, a reference to the 14th of Nisan, the day that Passover is observed. At one point in time, those in Rome wanted nothing to do with that specific date, preferring to start on Nisan 15, which was the first day of unleavened bread, because it was a holy day. The writings of that time do show a real desire to be fully separated from any and all Jewish tradition. They did not want to have anything to do with Israel or the Jewish traditions. It was anti-Semitism. But it started with the truth. Jesus Christ was resurrected. And this is our hope. It's one of the things we rely on, one of the things that we're grateful for, one of the things that we look forward to. But that truth was turned into and eventually became a replacement for the Passover, for the days of unleavened bread. And it was hidden by that controversy. It was obfuscated. Jesus Christ's sacrifice was obfuscated. The removal of sin from our lives was obfuscated, all hidden, lost in the muddle. It's no longer Passover, the days of unleavened bread that's observed. Now it's Easter. And what is important about Easter can be rewritten. There's a totally new emphasis focused only on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, effectively hiding the very beginning of the plan of salvation. Easter eggs and bunnies and candy is really only icing on the cake of these important hidden truths. That's the flash. That's the bright lights and sparkles. It's what became, well, let's do this for the children. And how do we make it for the children? And at that point, the illusion was complete. The counterfeit is complete. Brethren, we do have an adversary, and he's not to be taken lightly. You might put in your notes 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Pope Victor is not an enemy. He's a potential brother, a future member in God's family. But we do have an enemy. We do have an adversary. But we can't lay that at Pope Victor's feet. We can assume he was deceived. Our enemy, our adversary, uses these tactics of creating counterfeits throughout our lives. He does so to hide the truth and to make lies appear to be the truth. You cannot be born into the God family believing and practicing lies. Today I would like to explore these counterfeits. Let's become skilled in recognizing them, of seeing them in our lives, seeing them as they surround our lives. And let's develop the skills of tearing them down and revealing the truth. Let's recognize who the author of these counterfeits are, and very importantly, who is not to blame. We need to be able to recognize who is deceived, and then to love them the very same way that our Father and the way that Jesus Christ loved them. So the first thing that we have to fully grasp is why. What is the goal of all of this deception? Well, Satan hates God, and he hates us, and he does not want us to be a part of God's family. It's not offered to him. If I can't do it, nobody should be able to do it. And he will try to stop us in any way he can. He wanted to take God's throne at one time. He wanted to rule. And he hates the very idea that we have that opportunity to become a part of God's very family. That opportunity was never offered to him. As a result, any method that can prevent humanity from receiving eternal life, of overcoming all of our temptations, of not sinning, of being forgiven, that achieves his goal. Paramount to this is to hide the truth. It's impossible for anyone to obey the truth if it's hidden from you. Imagine for a moment that I said to you, I have a coin in my hand that's worth $100, and you can have that coin if you choose the hand that it's in. And then I presented you the hands like this. Which hand would it be in? It's pretty easy to tell, isn't it? Right? That's not hidden. That's very obvious. That's what our Father wants to present to us. The truth, that obvious. It's why he has given us his Holy Spirit, so we can discern his way apart from Satan's way. Let's go over to Isaiah 30. For many, this is a memory verse, Isaiah 30 and verse 21. It says, "Your ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Now, this is the easy choice in practice, isn't it? And one day this is the way that it will be for all of us in humanity. But it is not that way today. Our Father has a plan, and I trust Him. Today we are able to make those decisions with that still, small voice, that calm voice that is given to us through God's Holy Spirit. And what a blessing that is. But the majority of the world is not being called at this time. They don't have that same advantage. They're subjected to all the counterfeits. And they have to choose, often from overwhelming numbers, many having a foundation of truth, but are filled with lies. Is it any surprise that the truth is hidden? Let's take a look. A brief look at the significant counterfeits that are out there and begin to recognize the patterns that our adversary uses. Wikipedia states that there are roughly 4,200 different religions in the world today. As far as Satan is concerned, you can pick anyone except the one with the truth. Anyone will do, as long as it doesn't have the truth. 4,200 choices. But a majority of people typically stay with the religion that they were brought up in. Why? Well, there's a lot of significant cultural taboos about choosing another religion outside of the one your parents had, and it often causes a great deal of pain and resentment. I remember experiencing that. I was offered some really horrendous things if I would just leave the church. And that's from my family. But if you do decide that your parents' choice for a religion simply doesn't suit you, don't worry. There's 4,199 others that you can choose from. Kind of like the worst roulette wheel in the world, isn't it? You know, you spin that thing, how are you going to get the right one? And any one of them is an acceptable counterfeit. The real problem for Satan is if you see the truth. Because as a result, he will counterfeit that truth to hide it and do anything he can. And there are many ways that he has done this. One of the first things that he has done is to create a counterfeit God through the Trinity. The concept is that there are three perfect beings in one God, and it is okay if you don't understand it. It's just like trying to understand eternity. You can't understand that either. Our small minds cannot grasp it. But is that the truth? The truth is the solution to this counterfeit. One of the most fundamental principles to keep in mind regarding the proper understanding of God's word is simply this: the Bible interprets the Bible. We often must look elsewhere in the scripture to see more light regarding the meaning of a particular passage. So let's take a quick look at John 1:1. John 1:1 begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's no mention of a third being here at all. It does establish the fact that Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, created all things, and that he had eternal life, that he is God and is with God. So we know that there are at least two beings here. Let's get a better handle on the relationship. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 15. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." There is a father-son relationship. If there was a third being, he was left out in both of these passages. Holy Spirit is the power of God. It is what enables us to understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 10. Says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." As we all know, one can search the entire Bible, never find a single reference to a Trinity. Jesus Christ always pointed to his Father as the authority. We know from John 6:44, where it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up at the last day." Here the Father is the one that sent Jesus Christ. And the Father is the one that calls people. He is the only one that knows when Christ will return, and Christ always recognized his authority. It says, and you can put in your notes, Matthew 24 and verse 36, says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." This is a very important relationship that we need to understand. But a Trinity hides these very real relationships. It states that it is not an understandable concept. So why go any further? Why try to understand the relationship between Jesus Christ and his Father? Because if there's a Trinity there and everybody tells you it's not something you can understand, then you lose out on that very vital understanding. It hides the role of Jesus Christ as our intercessor, as our Redeemer, as our soon coming King. It hides our Father as the judge and master planner of our salvation. And it hides the fact that without the power of God's Holy Spirit, our ability to understand God's ways are also impossible. But with it, it is very possible. Another aspect of changing the truth in religion is to hide the very fact that Satan exists at all. Even those that will pray to God will say that they don't believe there is such a thing as Satan. Or, because there are multiple truths to hide, or multiple stories to hide the truth, Satan is made out to be some incredibly ugly, horned being, living in the center of the earth, living in flames, torturing the souls of all those that have died and did not go to heaven. and still a third, again, to hide the truth. He's a comical character that tries to trick you into signing some piece of paper whereby he grants you a gift, and you give him your soul when you die. And apparently he has a quota. He's got to get so many every week. Real demonic possession? That's only for scary movies. We don't buy that. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is the solution to this counterfeit. Let's go over to Ephesians 2. And see the very fact that he exists and that he's working against us. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They are not in the center of the earth. Satan and his demons do exist. And remember that their goal is for more sin, not more souls. The feasts of the Lord are also counterfeited by man's holidays. Our Father has an awesome plan of salvation. It's described so wonderfully by the holy days. So, of course, all of the holy days have to be hidden. I mentioned a great deal about this at the beginning. I would really encourage you all to spend some time studying the entire Paschal Crisis and look at some of the early church history that is still available. And there are many, many counterfeits that can be discovered as you pour through the holy days and what has happened to them over time. I want to focus on just one aspect for the sake of this sermon time, the lie that these are Jewish holidays and not Christian. The original genesis of this part of the reason for the choice of Sunday over Saturday, if you will, it wasn't the intellectual argument, but it was an emotional argument. When you read over the early church documents, you will find the reference to, quote, "the Jews" is often strong, it's often distasteful, as in, "we don't want to be like them. They killed Jesus Christ." Which, by the way, is a lie, isn't it? Because we all know I did. I'm the reason Jesus Christ had to die, because I sinned and I wanted to be forgiven. But the way that they presented it, these are decisions that were made from hate. And that is a very important point for all of us to grasp. Our Father is always motivated by love. He's never motivated by hate. And when you see that, it should stick out like a very big red flag. This is not godly. And there are Jewish holidays that are not Christian. But God's holy days are. The truth is the solution to the counterfeit. Let's go over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 2. Says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. Drop down to verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. The holy days are God's holy days, and indeed, many Jews observe them. Israel observed them. However, by hiding the holy days, the wonderful plan of salvation is also completely hidden. Another one which seems to be happening in a great deal in our current society is, what is a marriage relationship? We live today in this society where for many, many years it's been quite accepted that only 50% of marriages will survive until death does someone part. They create prenuptial agreements to protect themselves from their future spouse, anticipating the upcoming divorce. And many of those people were smart to do so, as unsurprisingly, that divorce does occur. It's almost like they forecast it. They knew it was going to happen, they just didn't know when or why. Some claim to have an open marriage, meaning they can bring additional partners into the marriage for periods of time. And polygamy appears to be the latest darling on reality TV. In other societies around the world, we still see arranged marriages, and still quite troubling is the bizarre lack of human rights for some women in their marriages. Of course, the most controversial is the rise in states allowing homosexual marriage. Lots and lots of legal footwork, lots of heartbreaks as different states approve and outlaw homosexual marriage or attempted to. If you don't like the law the way it is, you can always find another judge that'll overturn it. But again, all of that, all those interpretations, all those desires, it's not the truth. The truth is the solution. The truth is the solution to exposing these counterfeits. Please turn to Genesis 2 and begin in verse 20. Genesis 2 and verse 20, we see a definition of marriage given to us by God. It says, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that's the truth. This marriage relationship is one that is defined by God for man and for woman. It's not something that any other breathing thing does on the planet. Only mankind. A wife is there as one that is comparable to man, not to rule over him, and not to be treated as property. Let's continue understanding. Turn to Malachi 2. Malachi 2 says in verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. It's important for us that we have God's Holy Spirit to see the real intent, to see the truth in order to expose the counterfeit. Matthew 19 and verse 7. Matthew 19 and verse 7. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." And then Christ adds specifics for divorce. And this addresses the attitudes that the Pharisees had at the time concerning divorce. But notice the original question in verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3 says, "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?'" So Christ ultimately answers that question. And drop down to verse 9. "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." God defines marriage, not man. Now in our society today, it's often redefined. New standards are created. Different levels of acceptability. Political correctness creeps in. None of that changes the truth, though. None of that changes the truth. We, as Christians, must live according to the truth. Our uncalled brothers and sisters are accosted by these untruths constantly. But we can see the light through the fog that is political correctness. We must make certain that we also reflect the love of God, not the hate of mankind. Obviously, our courts have it exactly backwards with respect to the scripture being declared as hate speech. And they have done that. When you read out of the Bible, you can be put in jail in some places. What is the real role of men, women, children, and family? Hopefully you're seeing how the truth keeps being flipped on its head, and lies are counterfeiting as truth. Consider these statements, especially with respect to how real men are portrayed, particularly in our entertainment industry. Real men have many relationships with women. Another notch in the belt. What a guy. Real men know how to keep their women in line. It takes a real man to be able to kill another man. Only cowards cannot do that. Real men can drink and drink and drink and, of course, never suffer any long-lasting problems. Real men never cry. Real men never back down from a challenge. That would ruin the whole script. Real men have true character by default. It isn't something that they have to develop. It isn't something that comes through effective parenting. Real men are not religious. And today, real men are all lousy, bumbling fathers, ineffective. But none of that is true. We've seen it portrayed in the entertainment industry for decades and decades. The truth is the solution to exposing these counterfeits. I already mentioned Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Real men don't have relationships with many different women. Real men leave their parents to become one with a wife, period. In Exodus 20 and verse 13, it says, "You shall not murder." Enough said. Four words of truth that eliminate that counterfeit. If you need a shorter verse of truth, John 11 at verse 35, Jesus wept. Real men cry. You cannot, under any circumstances, find a more real, a more complete man than Jesus Christ. He knew he would and that he could raise Lazarus, and those tears were for those that were around him. Real men should be respected in their home because they are worthy of that respect. Real men are the ones in the house that should be teaching God's ways to their children. That's where true character comes from. It's how real men grow up with character. There are similar counterfeit definitions for what is a real woman. It is different, and we ignorantly bought into the counterfeit definitions of what real men are in the ways I listed above. But I don't think we really expect all men to be that real man. Indeed, the bumbling idiot aspect has all but eliminated the John Waynes of this world. For women, it's a little different. Far too often today, society really expects women to dress, look, act, to actually be just like the models in the magazines or the TV ads. Women are often rated 1 through 10 as they walk down a sidewalk without ever having a single word said to her. It's all superficial. This is especially harmful for young women where they haven't identified who they are. They haven't lived enough life to know what they do like and what they don't like. So they end up defining themselves by how they look. Or worse, they end up defining themselves by how someone else rates them. But it's all a lie. And those are lies, and they're treacherous ones. Because the consequences can be life-threatening. Jesus Christ defined what a real woman is like, and it's very flattering. And not surprisingly, there's very little reference to what she looks like. But let's examine the definition. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, we're going to go right to verse 30 at the end. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." I wanted to dwell on that because this is something that God felt very strongly about, that was something that needed to be noted. Here's the funny part. That particular line, the same could be said for a man. Where does Jesus Christ place real value for a girl or a woman? says here, beauty is passing. Yet that's the exact opposite of our society's counterfeit messages, of Satan's counterfeit message. Think of the hours that women spend trying to have that look. Imagine if they had spent the same time fulfilling what is described between verse 10 and the end of the chapter. Imagine if they had spent that much time deep in Bible study and prayer. And the beauty described here is passing, because real beauty is character that will live eternally. I want to look very quickly at one last counterfeit. Turn to Matthew 28 and verse 4. Matthew 28 and verse 4. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. With great joy, they ran to tell the disciples that Jesus Christ had been resurrected, that he had risen from the grave, that he was going to be available to them. Do we ever hear about anyone coming out of the grave today? Very heavily prevalent today are zombies. And what do those zombies want to do? Hurt you? I won't get into all the gory details. When Joe and I were kids, it was mummies out of Egypt. They brought the sarcophagus, and Abbott and Costello opened it up, and a mummy came out. And what did he want to do? Hurt you. And you couldn't kill them unless you cut their heads off. How about vampires? Can almost live eternally as long as they get enough blood to drink. And werewolves, whom you can shoot many, many times with a gun, but only with a silver bullet. Anything that comes back from the dead wants to hurt you. When Jesus Christ returns, how do you think that he and all those that are returning with him are going to be viewed? Why? Because that lie, that counterfeit is out there. When people see that we're raised from the dead, they will fear us, because this has been driven into their minds for years and years and years. We will be met with horror, fear, and distrust. And what is the counterfeit? Or what is the, how do we counteract that? And the only way to do so is with the love of God. That's what we need to be practicing all the time. Every time we see it. I saw it in my own notes today. So what should we do to deal with counterfeits? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." He's talking about scriptures. understanding them, making sure that we know what they are. Brethren, of all people, we are uniquely qualified to see through the deception, to see through all of the counterfeits. And because we are armed with the truth, let's not be swayed by the counterfeits of this world, but be grateful and thankful that we've been blessed with the truth of God.